Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, good morning, Dirtfisher Rally friends. It is the day after Rally Estonia. It's myself and David Evans this morning, and we are sitting in...
It's actually not, I've got to interrupt you, Tom. It's not a day after at all, it's hours after.
It's hours after, you're
ridiculously
quite right.
Early.
Quite right, it is way, way too early this morning. We're at the airport at Tallinn waiting for our flights home, but we're quite good. Really, David's had his bowl of fruit and he's got his Americano. I've got my cappuccino in front of me. Chocolates, croissant, not your sort of thing, is it, really?
No, not this time of the morning, no.
No, but I do enjoy a little chocolate croissant, I have to
say. It was only about 20 minutes ago, we were finishing steak and... Well, red
you're
wine.
Quite right, in our not quite so authentic Argentinian restaurant, I have to say. So Rally Estonia. David, where do we start? Where would you like to start?
I think we start with what a great place, what a fantastic country, what a brilliant bunch of enthusiastic rally fans here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
For me, you know, I've got to say, what a just fabulous, eclectic collection of weather forms we've had this weekend. It's been a long time since we've seen some such bizarre cloud formations, and we're both, I think, quite determined to sort of talk around. We've talked so much, haven't we, about Calle Rovanperä and his brilliance. I'm not sure there's an awful lot more to say on that. I wrote my column late last night, which is on dirtfish.com today. What day is it today?
Monday.
Yeah, it's on today, Monday. Yeah. And yeah, so actually it was on yesterday because this comes out on Tuesday. And I didn't really know what to... I didn't want to write more about Kelly because we've done so much. So I wrote all about Oit Tanak.
Right.
Because for me, you know, Oit drove a great, great Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Superb Friday. He pushed, he did all he could.
You keep saying this. He had a great Friday morning. Friday morning, he was within 10 seconds after the first loop. He lost 20, 25 seconds in the second loop, didn't he?
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I agree with you. He gave it his all. He had a go.
He gave the ball a kick, didn't he, Friday morning?
And he thought, okay, let's see where we're at. Let's take the risk. Let's push and see where we're at.
Yeah.
And it was an enormously impressive drive.
It was. But it was unsustainable, I think.
No.
At that speed, and in the car, and what have you. So no, it was fantastic. Just another great event. Every year we come here and just have an absolute ball.
Mm.
Apart from last year when it was way too hot, of course. But no, great, fabulous event. And actually, it's rather churlish, isn't it, not to talk about Cali.
I think so. I think you have to, David.
We were talking as well about your driver ratings.
Mm.
You know, perhaps you'd like to explain the rationale behind not giving Calle Rovanperä
11
out of 10.
Well, you've always got to give yourself a bit of room, you know, for the most remarkable performance. And a remarkable performance comes along once a year, maybe once every couple of years. You know, that performance...
Yeah, but this was it,
Loeb,
wasn't it?
Sebastian Loeb in
Corsica.
Corsica a few years ago won every single stage. It was untouchable. You know, if you've given him 10 for winning the previous rally, what do you give him for that one that actually
10 again.
Validates... 10 again, yeah, but...
10 know, and a bit.
10 and a wee bit. You know, you give him 9 and a wee bit for the win before, and then you give him the 10 for the one that absolutely is outstanding.
Okay, so how could Calle have improved on this?
Well, clearly he could have won every stage. He won close to, you know, he won more than half the stages. I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether I need to pedal a little bit backwards on this one and say, look, you know, he gets 10 for a win just because he's won. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. I really don't think so. But it was... a dominant performance from him here. You know, he had Elvin Evans driving pretty well. I don't think Elvin Evans is driving at his best yet, David. I really don't. And I think he's still building towards his best. It was such a difficult start to the year for him.
If you use Finland last year as Elvin's best...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's still a little bit more to come.
Mm.
And I think we saw flashes of that on Friday. And you know, the trouble is we continually sort of mark Alvin against Calais. Of course you do. You know, your teammate is your first kind of place of reference, isn't it? But what we do need to sorry. Microphone's a little bit wonky.
Microphone is disappearing into the folds of your jumper, David.
Yeah. Well, I'm just relishing the fact that I can wear a jumper before we go home into 50 degrees or whatever it is.
At what point does that jumper come off today, by the way?
It might not. I'll get in the car and have the air conditioning on and just keep the jumper on. Yeah. I might just stay in the car all day, actually.
You'll be the only person in the whole of Britain wearing a jumper today.
So we saw flashes of that speed from Alvin on Friday. But I don't think he ever got completely comfortable.
I agree.
And then he could then, and then the weather changed, and the weather came, and it became more complicated. But you know what? The one thing that we do have to look at is Elvin's performance here, compared with what he did last year. He took a great big step in Estonia, didn't he? You know, he got a lot quicker.
He did
this time around.
He did.
And that's it's a continual process of improvement. And without wishing, you know, the word freak sounds horrible and has some strange connotations. But actually, what Calle Rovanperä is doing is quite freakish now. You know, it's very, very, very unusual to see this kind of speed from somebody so young. And you just, at some point, you've just got to sit back and accept these people.
I take exception to what you're saying.
Really?
Because it's not unusual to see that sort of speed from someone so young. It's not unusual at all. We've seen it many times.
No.
Yes, we have. We saw it with Latvala, we saw it with Novikov.
That sustained speed.
Right, you've just validated your point.
Yeah.
So your point initially was
chance.
The point initially was the speed. The speed is not exceptional.
You and I can do that to the first corner.
Correct. Right. Correct. It is for me the most remarkable thing is the consistency of his performances and his speed. And it's that you know, that opening stage on Saturday morning. And Saturday morning was where Evans needed to bounce back, 11 seconds down. He'd had a really unfortunate final stage on the Friday where the weather had cost him potentially the lead. We needed to see him bouncing back. You know, Rovanperä, by his standards, had a poor stage. You know, you could see it in the body language. You could hear it in his stage end comments. He'd had a poor stage. Was this Elvin Evans' chance to get a chunk of time back? No, it wasn't. He only gave away 0.4 of a second.
Yeah.
And that's where he's at just now. He's banging in these consistent times. And when he does have a bit of a difficult one, it's not a 10 seconds lost difficult one, it is tenths of a second lost. And that's the mark of where he's at just now, really. It's that consistent ability to put the pressure on, to keep the pressure on his opposition. And that's how Loeb dominated. You know, Ogier, when he came in, dominated with speed and psychology. You know, he beat his opponents, you know, not just with his performance on the stages, he beat them with what he said off the stages. You know, Tanak, when he was winning at Toyota, had that air of invincibility, that real intimidatory factor about him. Now, I don't think Rovanperä has that, but what he does, he's just battering them, continually battering the opposition with his consistency. And that for me is the freakish thing. It's the speed aligned with the consistency, aligned with the intelligence. And Latvala picked that out on Friday night, that ability to recognise, actually, difficult conditions, the rain's coming down, here's an opportunity. I'm not going to go into defensive mode, which just about every other driver did to get through the stage. This is the opportunity to attack. You put all of those things together in someone who is 21 years old, and that is the freakish nature of it. So you were wrong, David Evans. Now, you talk, I've got a little bit of coffee to drink.
I was actually tempted just to go back for a bit of a snooze there.
You were.
I may have switched off.
You were.
What did you just say?
You're right, because you were wrong. I don't get that opportunity very often.
Yeah, no, everything that you just said is exactly right. It is, and it's that level of maturity.
So,
his whole approach.
But I agree. Let's move on from Rovanperä. Let's talk about...
Elvin, rest of
it. Where that challenge comes in Finland. Does it come from Elvin? It clearly will come from Elvin.
Of course it does. He won last year.
Won last year, and he won with a dominant performance, and he won...
as he said, he won in a different car. Mm-hmm. Has he felt yet? I don't think he's felt anything like the comfort that Calle feels in that car. Mm-hmm. You know, you get these drives. Tom Fowler, technical director at Toyota, said yesterday, you get every now and then, you get a driver that clicks with a car. Mm. Historically, you go back, you had Marcus Grönholm who clicked with the 206. Petter Solberg, of course, he clicked with Subaru Impreza. Calais is clearly clicking. with the, sorry for the background noise there, somebody's about to have a smoothie. Looks like some sort of banana smoothie to engage in.
Have I got chocolate on my face?
I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to work that one out for yourself. He's clicking with this car, and when it works, it's everything that we've said. You know, for the last five of seven rallies, you get this confidence and this inner ability, inner absolute sort of faith in your own ability, and you can do anything. Mm-hmm. And Elvin's got to overcome that. And it's difficult place to go somewhere like Finland and try to do that. But that said, when we were talking to Elvin yesterday about looking forward to Finland, his eyes lit up, didn't they? Totally lit up, because he said it's one of my favourite rallies, favourite places in the world to go. And last year, he absolutely drove it like a Finn.
He did.
And he does have that absolute ability. We've seen that. And we kept sure, I was trying to goad him a little bit and get him to say that, you know, going there, when you go there on the back of a win, it does give you a huge amount of confidence. And he wasn't really having it. But I'm sorry, but it must.
Yeah.
You know, you sort of roll into that place. Yeah. And your last memory is of when you came away from there stinking of champagne.
Winning the biggest rally in the world, which is New York.
Yeah, Monty's great, but Finland's the one.
It's the true test of the,
absolutely.
You know, the skill.
An absolute bravery, you know, everything you want from a rally driver. You know, you go back all the way back through the years, team principals will always watch Finland, because you can make a consistent driver, you can bring their speed down a little bit. Sorry, an overly quick driver, you can bring them back that little bit, but you can't make a slower driver quicker. I guess you can somehow, but it's not easy. Clearly, Elvin has the pace to win Finland. He's got the ability to win Finland. He has to now, for me. If he doesn't, you know, you can say comfortably that he's actually got to write this year off, because he's not going to win.
For what reason? This year is written off already.
For his own self-worth, is that a little bit strong? Because he's clearly
Self-belief, maybe? I think so. I think so, David.
But I think he believes in himself anyway. But also,
but does he believe he can beat Robin Perra? Does he believe? Has he seen?
He's the only one yesterday that told us that Robin Perra is unbeatable, didn't he? Everybody else said, nah, this year, that car, you can't beat Robin Perra. Elvin said he can, so now he has to deliver in Finland.
Well, he's got the best chance of beating him. The others, you know, you look at the Hyundai drivers, they ain't going to beat him in that car.
No.
The M-Sport drivers,
Esa-Pekka?
Same thing. Esa-Pekka is the one, but no, Esa-Pekka is almost... he's a strange one, I have to say. I love him to bits. I think he's one of the most entertaining characters, one of the most naturally gifted drivers we've seen in a long time. But my God, I've never heard, or rarely heard, a driver who gets so down, so hard. Is it a little bit of a show, a little bit of a front?
Oh, God, no,
he's not about honestly, a show, Colin. But he's
David,
not at all.
But if you were getting that down, and
he kind of wears his heart on his sleeve. And it was a tricky moment for him, you know, when he did get down. But he's
David. It happens all the time.
No, shush, Colin. He said it exactly right. Exactly right. Callie is a 21-year-old willing to take risks.
Yeah.
And like EP said, in his own mind, he's not taking risks. Yeah. Because I know it was a very, very, very long time ago, but when you were 21, you know, those fences we were jumping over yesterday to go to the restaurant, you'd have just leapt over that without a second thought.
You had to be 5 minutes to recover from that. You went over, I went under. Going under was a bad choice, wasn't it?
It was a very bad choice. But
so was pulling my microphone up.
So this is the point, isn't it? That, you know, EP knows that he has a very, very good chance of winning Finland, but he knows as well, like he said, he's had two children now. You know, there's an element that changes your outlook on everything. And it changes your consideration of going into an absolutely flat-out corner.
It changes your assessment of risk.
Yeah,
that's what it is,
does.
You know. The risk assessment changes completely.
Yeah.
David, let's go to the gate and let's talk and walk while we go to the gate.
Well, I've just got to finish my coffee.
I am the slowest eater in the world. Why are you behind?
In answer to your question, I think Elvin has to do it, for his own self-belief and to understand that Callie Rovanperä is beatable. Bigger question here, though. M-Sport and Hyundai, how do they move forward?
M-Sport don't have so many issues. For me, they really don't have so many issues. You know, what you can't do, you've bought a new car and you've got two or three homologation changes you can make, you're stuck with what you've got. You know, when you've got drivers who are perhaps not quite firing on all cylinders, you can work with them. You know, you can do what you need with the drivers. And if needs be, David, you can take the nuclear option and bring in another driver. Mm. You know, so I don't have concerns particularly about M-Sport. You know, we have Loeb who comes back, and every time Loeb gets in the car, he looks like he can win. And okay, he made mistakes, and well, certainly in Portugal, and Safari was unfortunate. But Hyundai is a completely different matter. I don't know how negative we can be about it all, but I am perplexed by it. I'm still perplexed.
I do think now making steps forward now. I think they're beginning to look like they're on the right road. There was a lot of talk within the team, behind the scenes, of a team moving forward, finding ways. There's not a lot they can do between here and Finland. But, you know, you look to the next fast gravel rally, say somewhere like New Zealand. Yeah. There's potential there.
Well, there's always potential. We saw it from Tanak when he won in Sardinia. But, David, it comes down to the very basic principle of business, which is no business can succeed without a strong leader. No business. None. It just doesn't happen. You don't succeed with a committee of heads of departments. You succeed with a strong leader who can take the team by the scruff of the neck, particularly when they're underperforming, and drag them forward. You know, and we're still in a situation where poor old Julian Monse doesn't know whether he's coming or going.
He knows whether he's coming or going because he's continually coming and going, isn't he? Because he's got so many jobs to do.
Well,
you need somebody who has the ability to focus on leading that team. We saw that with Adamo. You know, he was so incredibly strong. And that's actually not to say that Andrea didn't have a million areas to focus on. Of course he did.
Yeah.
But you're right. They do need a strong leader.
And then you start to address the issues with the performance of the car, David. And, you know, they are so, so far behind. Is there ever an opportunity now for
them
to catch
up? They're not so far behind. No, I think this year they have to actually just stand back and say, OK, enough this year. They can kind of rule out the rest of this year, do what they can, but absolutely focus towards next year.
Right.
Particularly because Toyota and Calais are just so far ahead. You know, if they were a little bit closer, then you could perhaps look at putting through more resource. But also, it's nearly impossible these days, once you've homologated a car, to improve it, to change it, to evolve it. You know, when you're getting like one day of testing, there's no development testing in the middle of the season. It's very, very difficult to do much with a car, isn't it?
Well, this is my point. And the developments that are happening with the other cars, okay, you say they're not that far behind, but they're a reasonable way behind. It's just this, you fear there's a process of continual chasing going on in terms of the performance.
Yeah.
And can they get there?
No, but that's my whole point, Colin. I'm not, you know, they to try and do that, almost they're chasing their tail this year. There will be certain events which will fit and which will suit, and the weather will work for them better. Mm. And, you know, somewhere like, I don't know, New Zealand, it could work. Mm. But for me, they're much better now just to focus and do what they can.
How much can they do next year, then? What you're talking?
Well, they can bring completely new homologations in, can't they? They can make big changes to the car for next year.
So you only have two or three homologation changes you're allowed during the season?
Yeah, you've got
between
jokers.
You can basically start again.
What you can do is you can use those jokers. You can essentially stockpile them. I think. Don't put me on the spot here in terms
there's
of regulations.
There's an FIA guy there, so we've got to ask him.
Let's not. But yeah, of course you can do. You can do more. You know, you can essentially bring a brand new car, I guess, can't you?
You know, yeah, you I guess can. You can. Of course complete. You can. Because you can bring a new model in, can't you?
For me, that's where. That's where they need to focus now. It's a terrible shame, but the one point we have to continue to reference here, Colin, is that they were, you know, there was initial meetings about the regulations for 2022 in mid to late 2019, and when Hyundai went there, they could already see that M Sport Ford was already working on modelling. You know, they were preparing simulators.
Yeah, exactly.
And Hyundai came away from that meeting saying, you know, we're already finished for 2022. We're already so far behind, we can't catch up. That's the reality of this. And, you know, it feels really actually pretty harsh to continually jumping on their back. It's impossible to come up with a miraculous cure that's going to give you back those 6 months of development.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It takes time. It and now, if they're smart, and perhaps this is where we need a strong leader, they need to now sacrifice the rest of this year and say... But how do you say
What's
that?
What's the biggest issue with that, David? Well, two enormous issues.
How do you say that? Exactly, to Oik Tanak and Thierry Neuville. But you've got to.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you know, we've seen this in motorsport for so many years.
I think it's going to be bye-bye Tanak. I cannot honestly see, because Tanak was... You know, he came into that team, and you know, there's a story still to be told. You know, he left the best team in the championship at the time to come to a team that was you know, showing potential but wasn't.
I don't know. It was more than showing potential.
Well, okay, they'd won a couple of manufacturers' titles.
Well, they hadn't actually by then, had they?
Hadn't they? Did he? I can't honestly remember exactly what the dates were, but he left there. He's come to Hyundai. He's never quite clicked. He didn't click with the 2017 car, which was developed purely for. You know, Thierry Neuville, and when you watch the driving styles, you could see. You could
it
see
wasn't
that
developed purely for Thierry
Neuville. It was.
It was influenced heavily by Thierry Neuville.
It was like saying the Citroens, you know, back in the day weren't designed purely for Sebastian. Well, of course they were. No one else could drive those cars like he could. You know, they were built around. You looked at the. In the 2017 car, the use of the handbrake for Thierry Neuville was astonishing. And I remember Andreas Mikkelsen telling me he'd studied some onboards from a power stage. 26 spools on the handbrake for Neuville through the power stage. Four. For Tanak, it's all about driving style, that car.
And, I've always said it's all about the handbrake.
It's all about the handbrake. But but you know, my point is, he accepted that, and he accepted there was a new car coming with the new regulations, and that was going to be the new dawn for him with Hyundai. It was his chance to get back to that kind of level of performance that we saw in Toyota.
It was, and
it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. And will he accept promises from that one?
It hasn't come together, has it? Because, you know, it was Christian Lorio and it was Andrea Adamo, and that whole thing hasn't quite clicked, Colin.
I'm looking to see whether our gate's going, David. How do you know it's not?
We're absolutely fine. We've got another few minutes.
Okay, so
I think, you know, you're right. And this is the point, is that Tanak waited for this car.
Yeah.
And does he now wait for next year's car?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Does he accept promises?
I don't know, but I can tell you one thing for sure, though, Cole. You know, they got... This car is delayed. Mm. They won't make the same mistake again. Hyundai will come back stronger. If they use this time wisely, the second half of the year, then they can be world champions next year.
Yeah.
And all of this is a blip.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got... They have arguably... Did they have a stronger driver lineup? You know, they've got
strongest driver lineup. Now that Robin Perra's right up there, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's pretty even Stevens, isn't
absolutely.
It? With Elvin and equal, I suppose they've got EP as well. But I mean, Hyundai's driver lineup is not weak.
It's not going to hold them back. The driver lineup in cars that are
definitely not. So, I can definitely see there's. We need to just be a bit careful with Hyundai, that we need to be accepting of their situation. Mm. It's not acceptable to be this late with the car, but it's happened. So there's no point keep berating them for something that... And it's the same thing, you know, every time. We said this last night, you know, they go to Monte, they're late. They go to Sweden, they're late because they're taking a totally different spec of car. They go to Safari or Sardinia, they're late because they're using a rough gravel car. They come to Estonia, they're late because they're using a new... A fast gravel car that's stiffer and lower and all of that stuff. So
they go to Finland and again it's a different car from the car they drive here. A lot of people say that it's the same as Finland, Estonia, very similar. We talked to Tom Fowler yesterday, he said they're actually quite different in terms of how you prepare the car and all the rest. Really quite different.
Finland is a quicker rally again. And generally wider roads, faster roads and
I do agree with you, but you know, but there are things that within that organisation that need sorting, you know, more urgently almost than the car needs sorting for me, and that's the structure.
That's
team boss has to go. It has to be someone, unfortunately, and
somebody
you know,
that
could
holds
be
a
hand up. Someone. You need someone that can do it technically. You need someone who can do it with the media. You need someone who can do it, you know, with the drivers that has the influence and. And they need an enormously strong character.
But
and
last year,
sure
last 2 years, last 3 years, we had one man who stood there and said, no, you're not going to go and talk to the technical director.
Absolutely.
You're going to talk to me.
Yeah, and we never talked to any engineers or anything, did we?
But that was fine. Yeah. It wasn't fine. It was massively frustrating. But the one thing Adamo did was he protected his team. He protected everybody. There wasn't the internal sort of backbiting and bitching that's going on in there now. There wasn't. Because everybody seemed to pull together. Okay, there were There was the odd disgruntled.
Not everyone
of course there is in an organisation
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But Adamo, the buck stopped with him, mm-hmm. and at the minute we don't seem to have that. And why would you, as a deputy, Julian Monsa, you know, he's going to pop his head above the parapet every now and then, but you're not going to leave it there.
No, of course you're not.
Sorry,
you're not.
You know,
no, not until someone says exactly
the job title yeah. and the full responsibility and that.
And the authority.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's the point. You know, there's only so much he can do, and you know, you've got. Christian Laurier, there are strong characters in that team. Tanak and Thierry are both strong characters. We saw that in the way that they're approaching things right now.
Are you expecting anything in regards to an announcement in that department, David? What are you hearing?
When we were in Portugal, there was rumour that you know this week there is an announcement coming. I think you're never far away from an announcement.
Right.
There's an announcement about our flight.
People are boarding, this
should be the...
Air France. That's Air France. We're not on Air France. Where's ours?
I think it's probably a good time to say goodbye.
We're at the wrong gate. Oh, my goodness.
Right, let's say goodbye.
Right, folks, I'm really sorry about this. David Evans has taken us to the wrong gate.
If you don't hear from us again, you know that we didn't get on the right plane.
No, David.
Right.
Folks, it's been an absolute pleasure. We'll all talk to you next week on Spin the Rally Pods. Where is it, David? Find what gate we're at, mate. Genuinely.